Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Doing a quick rundown here of some injury stuff to watch for Sunday here. Taysom Hill, a full participant in practice. That's not really the... It's not in doubt, I don't think, at this point, whether or not he's going to play. I think if there's any doubt about what is going to happen with Taysom Hill, it's whether or not he's going to start a quarterback. There's reports out as recently as Friday when I'm recording this that he is going to play, but it's going to be Trevor Siemian that starts at quarterback. So we'll see there. I think they're in the market for potentially Odell Beckham Jr. as well. Those reports are going to be interesting to watch for. Kyler Murray has not played, or he has not practiced this week since since injuring himself on Thursday night of last week. So Kingsbury has said he could play. The reports are like, hey, he can play without practicing. We will believe that when I see it. It's going to be how my position is on that one. Notably as well with the matchup here with Arizona, they're playing San Francisco, and when you look at the matchup there, it's a pretty favorable matchup in terms of giving up points to opposing quarterbacks. They are the worst in terms of matchups this week. I guess Arizona has the best matchup in terms of quarterbacks performing against the San Francisco defense better than they do against their other defenses there. So a notable situation there for the Arizona Cardinals if Colt McCoy would be the starter if he has to play. So a favorable matchup there if you're going to try and exploit it. I think that's a notable one there for sure. DMP limited, not listed on the practice report for Matthew Stafford, so we'll see there. I'm not exactly sure the nature of that, but I'm not worried considering he's not listed on the practice report. When you look at the running backs, Barkley's out. Gary Brightwell missed Thursday and Friday with undisclosed. So that's a monitor. That's a monitor more for a IR designation or something like that. So just pay attention. It's not really like you're going to start Gary Brightwell or anything like that, but corresponding roster moves is something we're watching over the weekend. Limited, full for Edmonds, should be a full go. Three full practices for Eckler, he should be a full go. Justin Jackson out for the week, so you're looking Joshua Kelly or Larry Roundtree to be the injury away guy there. DMP limited, questionable for Elijah Mitchell. I'm expecting that he plays. Latavius Murray's out for the week. DMP limited for James Robinson. It's a heel injury. I get the impression he's going to play, but we're going to watch for that one here over the weekend for sure. And I would think, you know, given it's not a great matchup for like a Carlos Hyde. So that's one where, I mean, you're playing the Bills, not a great situation. I would be a little reticent to play to probably play Carlos Hyde. They have given up. When you look at Jacksonville playing the Bills, the Bills have given up 3.7 points less to opposing players, and those opposing players have scored against their other opponents there. So they are a net negative in terms of being opponents. I think that's the fifth or sixth worst number this week for an opponent there. So I would be hesitant to play Hyde, would sort of be my inclination there if he plays. If Robinson plays, I'm probably playing him. Hopeful on Christian McCaffrey. We'll see there. We'll see if he comes off. He was like very limited on when he first practiced on Wednesday. It's about a neutral matchup. So I think if you're inclined to play Chuba Hubbard, if McCaffrey doesn't play, you're probably going to play him. They are at home as well. They're a small home underdog, one of the lower game totals of the week. Actually, it is the second lowest behind the Monday night game, which would be super, super fun to watch. So those are really the big issues there. Murray, Latavius being out again, we'll sort of see. I'm surprised they didn't put him on IR initially, because they had, you know, they had answers, quote unquote answers at the position if they wanted to put him on IR. They haven't. So interested with that and how that ultimately unfolds there with Latavius. Hopefully he's back in the near future. All right. Some things to watch for at the wide receiver position. NFI list for Ridley, that's a minimum of 3 games. So that kind of, if there was people, I get the impression that we're bullish on Ridley. Again, I could be wrong, and this is one of those situations I think it's important to inquire because you don't know. And this might be a, hey, what do you want for Ridley situation? It's not a ton of those. Like, this might be one of those situations. You just check in and see. So I would look to do that. And I would expect, I am treating him like he's going to miss the rest of the season. AJ Green on the COVID list. Full go here for Landry, Julio, and Tony. Late Friday DNP for AJ Brown. So I haven't seen a Dr. Jean or other report trying to give some information about that. So we'll be watching how that turns out. Uncertain there on his status as of yet. Bateman, same issue, DNP on Friday with a groin after not being on early on in the week. So watching both of those situations. I think it'd be interesting for Julio if he's going to play. Underdog at the Rams, new look offense. Could be some additional volume there for Julio. Okay, yeah, and Landry too, by the way, without Odell. Like, there's going to be a chance for some more volume there as well. So I wouldn't, you know, high 20s in terms of target share wouldn't shock me. Some other issues here. DMP limited for the following guys. Watkins, Kenny Galladay, and Debo. So Debo with a calf, Kenny Galladay with a knee, and Watkins with a thigh. So we're watching those guys. That's on the positive side of playing, sort of my thought, all listed as questionable here. DMP limited for your wide receivers. This is Beasley, Woods, and then there's a weird one with a limited DMP limited for CD Lamb. So I'm watching those guys because they missed Thursday and limited on Friday. We're watching those guys. I think if they play, they're in their otherwise normal situations there offensively. Out this week at the tight end position, Dawson Knox, Blake Jarwin, Pharaoh Brown, and Noah Fant, who is on the COVID list. Questionable this week, Albert O, 3 limited practices, so I expect him to play. Same with Jonnu Smith, 3 limited practices, I expect him to play as well. Also do a quick rundown of the lines here. Houston at Miami, it's an early start, so you got a 1 o'clock game. It's a 5.5, 6, down from 7. Miami's a home favorite. 46, bigger-ish total, probably, of what you'll see for like a Houston game in terms of implied points and stuff like that. Tyrod is expected to play, by the way. I didn't mention that in the quarterback stuff, so that'll be good news. A shot in the arm. He's probably on the quarterback 2 landscape fringe type range as it's a relatively neutral matchup there for Houston. So that'll be good to watch for there. Excited to see Tyrod back. I mean, I'm still curious about what they're going to do for the quarterback position next year. I mean, I know we're getting far afield here, but I'm really interested to see what that is going to bring ultimately. Because I'm not sure there's a ton of great answers in the draft. And, you know, how if they're going to trade Watson and sort of how that's all going to look. It's be pretty interesting. Slightly positive matchup here for wide receivers. They're like, it's a plus 3.5 points matchup there for Houston. That's what Miami gives up relative to their opponents. Miami has a good matchup against tight ends for Houston as well. So this is a Gesicki game for sure. Houston third. Miami basically the third best matchup against Houston this week amongst all the teams out there. Relatively neutral there for Miami with Pharaoh Brown out. Thought maybe Jordan Akins if it's a positive matchup, but it's pretty neutral. So watching, he doesn't really vault up all that high. All right, next game here. Got Denver and Dallas. Decent matchup for Denver's quarterback. Again, it's Bridgewater, so Denver is tougher against the pass. This is like the third toughest pass matchup relative to fantasy points of the week there for Dallas. Again, you'd think pretty high floor given all the stuff Dak's going to play. So we'll see there how that all unfolds, with him being back. It's a tough matchup for the running game, too. It's a bottom five matchup for Dallas's running game, neutral-ish for Denver there. So that's the skinny on that angle. Good matchup for Denver and the receivers. For the receivers, about plus three, plus four in that range. Minus two for Dallas. So just slightly below their normal expectation would be sort of where you'd put them. Given the matchup, and then the tight ends. It's a positive matchup for Denver. The tight ends, like the fifth best schedule matchup of the week. It's an Albert O week, so again, you're getting Dallas. That's nice, but it's not Fant, right? You'd wish it was Fant, so we'll see there how that unfolds. Dallas is up against it. Denver's pretty good limiting fantasy points. Bottom three matchup there for Dalton Schultz, so we'll be watching with that, especially with Blake Jarwin out. Next game up here on the slate is Minnesota and Baltimore. This is going to be a start your tight end game for Tyler Conklin. So he should be firmly on the radar. This is like the best matchup of the week for tight ends is the Baltimore defense. On the flip side, Minnesota is a favorable matchup for Baltimore's receivers. So it could be a play your passing games type of game there. But certainly Tyler Conklin, interesting. Marquise Brown, interesting. Sammy, more on the deeper radar. We're watching Bateman status, that sort of thing. As I think the ultimate watch situation there for the game. Relatively neutral across the board in terms of running back stuff. Okay, next game here is New England and Carolina. Both teams pretty good against the quarterbacks. Again, these aren't huge high-flying quarterback situations. For what that's worth, I don't know. Maybe there's buys and you're sort of up against it, but that's sort of where they're at. New England does a good job against opposing wide receivers. Carolina also does a good job. They're like a bottom seven matchup. Patriots are like the fourth toughest matchup against Carolina there this week. So both of them on the negative side compared to their usual fantasy points. I don't know how exploitable that is. Carolina, again, not a big tight end presence there in the offense, but the Patriots do represent one of the best tight end defenses. The second toughest matchup of the week for Carolina's tight ends. Again, you're probably not playing them anyways, so for what that's worth. Neutral-ish for New England's tight end, so nothing to really concern yourself with all that much. And I think I said before it was a neutral matchup for running backs. It's actually the most negative matchup for New England. So it's neutral for Carolina, and it is a negative matchup for the New England running backs. So tougher matchup for Damian Harris there. So again, it's a road game, small road favorite there for New England. They've actually jumped from 2.5 to 3.5 as a favorite though. So the line is, that's a big move across the three. So you can sort of have a little bit more confidence in them. But again, it's a small number. Carolina defends the running game pretty well. I think it puts Harris more on a running back to flex radar probably than it does necessarily an automatic start or anything like that. Okay, Buffalo and Jacksonville. I think with Buffalo, it's going to be all a full go. Really good matchup against the quarterback. It's a positive matchup for the running backs. Like it's a full fire on situation. Ultimately, I think it's a good matchup for tight ends too. So if you're hurting for it, like if you really need, and if you're really struggling for tight ends or something this week, Tommy Sweeney might be available. I know that sounds sort of crazy. I wouldn't want to pin my season on that, but like he's maybe available in your leagues, and if you need to play him, you can certainly attempt to do so with Dawson Knox out. You know, you do have a bunch of you have some tight ends this week. Again, I'm not sure how super impactful it is. Again, you got Hockenson on a bye, Seattle's on a bye, which isn't a huge probably influence. You got Gronk on a bye, and you've got maybe Ricky Seals-Jones. So there could be, I could see us being in a situation where, you know, Ricky Seals-Jones, Gronk, Hockenson, some, you know, a variety of price points there, guys that we're interested in. I could see a scenario where you could be up against it. Tommy Sweeney might not be the worst situation there, given a decent matchup and a big uptick in usage. Jacksonville kind of up against it. Buffalo's defense is like the best scoring defense in the league, so going to be a tough matchup for them all around. Okay, next up, Cleveland and Cincinnati. This is a 3.5. It was 3.5. Now it's on a 2.5 point favorite there for Cincinnati. I'll be interested to see if there's any line movement with all the Odell Beckham Jr. drama. It hasn't really moved. It's actually, if anything, it's moved a little bit towards Cleveland, which I think is interesting. Cleveland gets a slight bump in wide receiver matchup this week. Again, it's slight. It's only about 2 points, so not anything major to write home about. Cincinnati gets a -3 point bump for their wide receivers. So Cleveland does a good job against the wide receivers, is the short way of saying that. And then they're about neutral in terms of tight ends. They're slightly less than, you know, there's slightly bad matchups there for the tight ends. Again, I'm not sure exactly how you're exploiting that unless you're running out Uzama, maybe Hooper, Joku, something like that. But those are more desperation guys at this particular point. Next up here is Vegas and the Giants. Again, so receiver situations, I think it's stuff to monitor, you know, and all that. It's a good matchup for the running backs. This could be a Booker situation. This might be a situation where you play like Booker over Harris, for example. Like, this could be one of those situations. A +5 for the running backs, just over 5 points in favor, as of a favorable matchup for the running backs there for the Giants. So we like to see that. You know, I think that's probably the big takeaway from this game, ultimately. You know, and then I'm interested to see sort of what the fallout from, obviously, the Henry Ruggs situation is in terms of, like, Vegas has handled the distractions before. We'll see sort of how that continues. It's building up on them as the season goes along. One other situation we'll watch for is, like, I just want to see what the Ingram – I've been hoping for an Ingram trade. We'll see what an Ingram post-trade looks like. It's a decent matchup for the Giants. It's, like, it's like the fifth best matchup of the week in terms of tight ends. So we'll see there for him how that ultimately unfolds. All right, next game up here is your Atlanta and New Orleans game. So New Orleans is a 6-point favorite, 42 game total, so one of the lowest of the week. Going to play this game tight. New Orleans is going to hurt you on defense, and that's sort of what their game plan is going to be. You know, New Orleans does get a favorable matchup in the passing game, so if you're in a situation you need to play Trevor Siemian, like, again, the number's low in terms of the game total. That part of it kind of is not great, but I think there's a situation where you can play Siemian and just sort of hope to, like, he doesn't sort of flounder. That's kind of what that matchup in game script sort of speaks to me. Best matchup of the week for Kamara against Atlanta, +6 points over average. So that's a pretty good spot there. New Orleans does a good job against the running backs too. So that's, you know, it's a very favorable matchup for for the Saints this week in terms of where the points are going and that sort of thing. That said, the receiver position is a flip side of that, where Atlanta has the best wide receiver matchup of the week. The problem is, again, all the things pointing towards a good matchup for New Orleans, the problem with that is, how do they exploit it? So you got Patterson, you know, however he scores in terms of your leagues, but you've got Ridley out. So it's a tough situation there ultimately for them. Again, I'm not expecting a ton out of the passing game for either team, unless it's maybe a lot of maybe a lot of Patterson and Pitts type of situation there, ultimately. And I think it's a good Kamara game. All right, next game up here is your Chargers and Philly. Philly's good against the pass defense, against the quarterback in particular. So it's the worst matchup of the week for a quarterback for Herbert. So that's notable there. Obviously, the Chargers give it up to running backs and the running game in general. So a positive matchup there in terms of the rushing attack. I'll be interested to see sort of how that unfolds. Philly also gives it up on the ground. This could be a game. This could be an Eckler game. It could be a Boston Scott game. I think both of those are interesting. Obviously, at different price points, at different matchups. I'd probably, like, if I'm sort of picking between them, my hunch would be, like, I'm going to play Harris over Boston Scott, for example. This would be a nice one if it was, like, you had a really clarified situation out of the running backfield. I think Boston Scott's more of, like, a, I'm going to say desperation flex, but a riskier flex, and because who knows exactly what the game script is going to be and all that. You're not getting they're pounding out Detroit type of situation like you did last week. For the receiving position here, it's the two toughest matchups of the week. So Philly is the best against opposing wide receivers. Chargers second best against opposing wide receivers. So notable there in terms of how that unfolds. It's a suffocating thing. I mean, this could definitely set up in a situation where Jalen Hurts can hurt some people. So, pun very much intended. Neutral-ish with the tight end positions as well. So, slightly to the positive there, but nothing notable to really stick out. So, this could be 100% like a Jared Cook more so than the receiver game or anything like that. Like, it's a little bit of a lean in the positive direction for him and some suffocating stuff outside. So interesting stuff if you need to play him. Probably feel confident in like a high-end tight end two type of range. All right, Green Bay and Kansas City. We'll see what the hell is going to happen with the Jordan Love experience. I'll be honest with you, I'm rooting for him. So that's notable for what that matters. I will be rooting for the kid. For Kansas City, we'll see if they can not turn the ball over, see how that all that works. Green Bay is actually a plus matchup for the quarterback, considering that they're playing Kansas City. So the Jordan Love against Kansas City, it's a couple points over average. Again, we don't really have an average for Jordan Love, but for what that's worth, it's not the worst situation in the world. It's a situation where I'm wondering how much they can pound the running game. And some of the stuff with the when you look at strength schedule for scoring points and stuff, some of that is influenced by where the other positions are. So, for example, like you can really get it in the air from Kansas City. Maybe you're not necessarily running it or some of the game script stuff and all that. So Kansas City's slightly better against the run than other teams are against their other opponents. For what that's worth, you know, I'm not entirely sure how much volume is and all that stuff. So that would be just one thought that I would have there. Again, this is probably not both teams are slightly better than average against opposing running backs given their schedules. Again, Devontae Adams should be back this week, so we'll watch for that as well. I'm really interested to see what Jordan Love, because this could really influence, like this one spot start can absolutely influence his value. So this is going to be a game that I'm going to watch for sure. Arizona and San Fran. This is the Kyler Murray issue, so we'll see what happens with that. That's a positive matchup for the Arizona quarterback. So again, I think I mentioned this earlier. Colt McCoy probably playable. It's a negative matchup for San Francisco's quarterback, so probably a lesser play for Garoppolo here. When you look at the running back matchups here, it is a pretty negative matchup for San Francisco. So Arizona does a good job against the opposing running backs. Third worst matchup for opposing running backs this week, so that's notable there. Arizona is facing a relatively neutral matchup against San Francisco's running backs, against San Francisco's defenses, I should say. San Francisco facing a little bit of a tough defense against Arizona, against their receivers. So we'll see there with Debo, his situation is, who the hell knows what Brandon Ayuk's going to do. We'll watch there. You know, it's a favorable matchup for the receivers for Arizona against San Francisco's defense. So again, we'll see sort of how that, there's a lot of up in the air in terms of how that offense is going to look ultimately. All right. Sunday night game here. Sunday night game, Tennessee with the Rams. The biggest question here, obviously no Derrick Henry, what McNichols looks like. I'm really interested to see that game in terms of what their usage is. Maybe more so just looking at the box score than necessarily watching, but be intrigued by it in terms of what the breakdown is of McNichols versus Peterson, for example. I think those are interesting things. Tennessee, a little bit better than average against the run, but nothing too glaring. Again, basically neutral for both teams against the run. So nothing overwhelming there on either side. Same with Tennessee, facing about a neutral matchup for the Rams against the pass. So, it'll be an interesting matchup there. Again, I think there's a lot of uncertainty there with AJ Brown. I'll just be interested to see. Maybe this might even be a Schefter situation where we see it, where you see it overnight, something like that. You just get an update, and it's a tweet or a Rappaport tweet saying, you know, hey, tweak the thing in week or whatnot. We'll see. Another, also watching Woods. It's a favorable matchup for the Rams wide receivers, basically the fourth best of the week. So again, Woods, Cup, obviously they're probably in your lineups if they're playing, but it could be a situation if Woods doesn't play, this could be Van Jefferson. Again, Van Jefferson setting up kind of interesting here. Again, if you're playing in a narrow, he's definitely like a quick phone dial away because Deshaun Watson off the team now, Tutu Atwell on IR. Given all the facts, like this is very much a situation where you can quickly be running out of depth at a situation that looked pretty deep coming into the season. So Van Jefferson, absolutely a name. Again, can do some of the vertical stuff. And they like to play that 11. It's sort of weaning into a situation where he's absolutely more and more relevant. So didn't think I'd go full in on Van Jefferson at any point, but here we are. Took until week 9 of his second year. So that's where we're at. Favorable matchup for Tennessee in the for the tight ends, basically plus 3 is what the Rams give up to their opponents. Good luck exploiting that. Tennessee does a pretty good job against tight ends. It's like one of the bottom 6 matchups, negative 3 compared to the average there for opponents. So again, I'm probably still playing Higbee, but it's not a great matchup. Maybe it's a situation where I don't play him in the flex, something like that. If I'm considering that in safe leagues. Okay, last but not least, Chicago and Pittsburgh. It is trending towards 38.5. So buckle up for your Monday night football games. Monday night football this week on November 8th. Happy birthday to my dad, Scott. The matchup here, I mean, I'll be interested to see what Pittsburgh does to Justin Fields ultimately. It'll be interesting to watch. You know, if they're gonna bring some heavy blitzing stuff, like they could just play pin the pinata, you know, pin the tail on Justin Fields like a pinata. I'd be really intrigued by some of the stuff that they can try and confuse him with. The Nagy storyline will always be interesting, and you know, just I think the whole marriage is really weird. I was surprised, and I say this, and they're coming up on a bye. Here's the other thing too, like if this is a S show on Monday night, their bye is next week. So look for, you know, if you want to place a wager on your first coach fired, like Nagy this week, could be your guy. So just be on the watch for that as well. I'm intrigued. Yeah, listen, Chicago's defense is actually pretty good. You know, they're about neutral against quarterback position. Again, it's more of a Roethlisberger problem than it is anything else. They do a pretty good job against their running backs as well. Again, now you're trying to see sort of how the position does against how the position, the wide receiver position does without Juju and the sort of adapting that's going to go on. It's a favorable matchup for Chicago's wide receivers against Pittsburgh's defense. However, you know, you have the problem there of like, hey, when's an Allen Robinson breakout going to be? When's a Mooney breakout going to be? Well, if it's going to happen, like, this is actually a decent matchup for their wide receivers. It's about neutral for Pittsburgh's wide receivers. And then when you look at the tight end position, again, are we ever going to get anything out of Cole Kmet? Like, I would just love some difference making something out of him with the big investment that I made in him in rookie drafts, for sure. And so that'll pretty much do it for the week. Again, the Chicago defense, we'll just round that out too. Chicago is the best against tight ends. So maybe not a Pat Freiermuth, especially with Ebron coming back. That's kind of the situation you're stuck with. All right, well, that'll do it for this week. Again, good luck this week. And just a couple of things. We'll just pan ahead. Let's just pan ahead a week here. We'll just take a look. Chicago is going to be on a week 10 bye. I have floated Damian Williams out there. Just float him through two waivers if I need a spot. P. Ryan is the backup there for the Bengals. So let me just take a step back. The week 10 byes, the Bears, the Bengals, the Giants, and the Texans. I think I'm holding on to P. Ryan. I'm holding on to Booker. If you need to cut Houston Texans, like, I actually picked up Rex Burkhead in a couple spots and then ended up cutting him because I was like, I'm not going to play him. Like, do I want to hold him for the bye? Like, that's basically becomes, you know, now we're looking at, you know, holding him through, you know, not playing him in week 9, holding him to week 10. And all of a sudden we're like, that's a third of the rest of the season that I'm basically holding him on my roster and I'm not going to play him. Seems unnecessary. Like, that's kind of where we're getting. And this part of the season is always interesting because it feels like the dog days of summer almost. Like, if you're thinking like baseball reference, you sort of get into it and you're like, it can drag a little bit, and then you sort of, again, now you're heading in towards Thanksgiving and the playoffs and stuff, can get it, pick me up. But again, just keep grinding on these. And if you're willing to just sort of continue to churn 1% into 2%, 2% into 3%, like, you know, 2% to 4%, 4% to 8%, all those bets, just keep making them. They can add up. They can absolutely add up. And, you know, I've literally, you know, I've told the story in other places, but I'm just grinding. You know, I'm working through the Scott Fishbowl right now. And I wish, like, my greatest wish of the entire fantasy season is I took Kupp over Woods, because I'd be in first place by an enormous amount, by 50 points. Like, that's the level of first place that I'd be in overall in a national tournament. And, like, I got it right. Like, my big bet was Stafford, and, like, I bet on Prescott, you know, and I stacked Prescott with Cooper, and like, so I did fine, but I've ground it down at running back. Like, I've optimized. I had McNichols. Like, I bet everything on Elijah Mitchell, right? I've just like sort of hammered that and just kept grinding it. And again, Darrell Williams was starting in my super flex spot, right? Like, again, it's not sexy, right? No one's gonna write like a romantic novel about it, but it has been damn sure effective. And that is just, again, if you're willing to sort of go deep, and I always think of like when UFC fighters talking about like, yeah, we're going to take the guy out into deeper waters. Like, we can play in waters that are deeper at the running back position than anyone else, because we spend a lot of time doing it and we're good at it. And we spend a lot of time thinking about that. We sort of know how to optimize it. And again, this year, some of the tactics have been even better, right? Like, we're, I think, you know, really monitoring the week ahead in terms of buys, who we want to roster. And if we're not going to, you know, the Burkhead situation is an awesome example of that. So those are all the things. I mean, then you look ahead, you know, I look ahead to the Thursday night week every week, Baltimore, Miami next week, sort of how do we exploit that? I don't know if there's a clear answer to that. The problem is like at running back, there isn't a clear committee guy. So you're without basically, you're without Latavius, so maybe he comes back that week against short week. So I don't like, there's not really a totally exploitable thing there. Maybe what happened with Dearness Johnson's like a once a year type thing. Like maybe that's what we learn. I never sort of paid that much attention to it. That's just sort of the advanced level that I'm paying attention to it this year, that we caught that and hammered that. So maybe it just won't happen again. Maybe that was just fate, just perfectly interceding with our seasons and just some more points there for our Scott Fishbowl lineups. But I don't know. We'll see. It doesn't look like, you know, I guess Miami, maybe Salvin Ahmed. Again, he's probably rostered. Maybe that's the spot if something happens to Gaskin. That could be your spot start. Again, I don't love the matchup is ultimately the problem. So I don't even know if like you get to that point, you're gonna want to play a backup there. And again, it's gonna be, I don't know if you're gonna be super impacted by the buys next week in terms of your running backs anyway. So you might have like a full slate of guys, especially Swift will be back and Lenny will be back, and you know some of the other guys that we might be interested. You know, Alex Collins will be back for. Off a bye as well. Some guys that we're exposed to might be back. So I'm not sure it's exploitable this week, but we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying. It's going to come in big at some point in the near future. Like it's going to happen again, and we're going to be on it. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.